Atlantic account. Lego.
Lack, slamming doors in the pull up with hoes in the diamond in the back, they chosen the posted up, blowing up. Be it the sticky, icky, got you rolling up, hold it up, be it, so just don't be closing up. Open your mind. Open your mind. Open your mind. Open your mind. Open your mind.
This could be the day. You don't know the road. I can show the way.
Young Caddy cut though, still slamming though. Pull up with your hoe on the low low. Get my ride super clean and you didn't know. Niggas hate but it cool cause they too slow. Move, smooth, gotta get to it. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nah. I got a big back seat for a super freak. Tell them motherfuckers going and dying. Back road is short, cut the lane. Fuck the law, they can't stop the bang. Cut the double cup of purple rain. Tell them fuck critics, I never change.
Woo! Man, what y'all know about that big crit? That's that new big crit. That's called Lack Lack. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning in live to the show. I got a new system I'm recording on. I hope everything sounds good. I'm recording on a new system here. So if there's some bugs or glitches, y'all rock with me on that, family. We're going to still make it do what it do on today's show. Today's show is brought to you by the brand new book by my dude Stuart Knight. It's called Marginalizing White Supremacy. Real good book about racial politics. You can get that book at Amazon and Kindle right now. It's called Marginalizing White Supremacy. Real good game in that book. Also, today's show is brought to you by my man, Mr. Biweekly. He has a mixtape called Mr. Biweekly Volume 1. It's available right now at iTunes, Google Play, and at Amazon. So get that right now. And don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get Hidden Colors 1 and 2. And go to TariqElite.com to get all that gear at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to get right into the show. I'm ready to chop up some real good game. And we're going to see who's on the phone. There's a lot I want to talk about, and I want to chop up a lot of game with everybody on the phone. Let me put on some Mac and music, if you don't mind. Let me put on some Mac and music so we can get on the phone and chop up game with the family. Let me answer a call real quickly. What's going on? Who's calling?
Oh, shit. I got on my dog show. What's going on, Mr. Tyree?
I'm good. What's your name, man? Where you calling from?
Oh, man. My name is Alvin. Calling from Daytona Beach, player. I'm listening to your shit all the time, bro.
No doubt. So what's on your mind today?
Hey. I hope today's topic ain't about that Instagram picture, about that booty juice on that bench.
No, not at all, not at all. So what's on your mind?
I could go on, man. I really want to get your opinion on what you think about that flight 370 that just disappeared, bro. What's up with that?
The 370, which you're not talking about the Malaysian flight, are you?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't just disappear, man. This story's been going on for a long time. But let me get some of these other calls, man. Thanks for the call. This look, family, this motherfucker just calling up trying to think of stuff to talk about, okay? That's cool in the gang, but y'all have a topic when you call up. Just don't call up about random shit. You dig what I'm saying? Dude, it's like, what you think about that flight, man? Oh, what do you think about Honey Boo Boo last night? I mean, brother just thinking about anything to talk about. So you got to be very thorough when you call up. Have a topic in mind, all right? Have a topic in mind. Let me get on the next call. What's going on? Who's calling?
It's Randy in Cincinnati.
Hey, what's up, Randy? How you doing, fam?
Why? What's going on?
All right, what's on your mind, man?
Had a question.
Go ahead.
What do you do? Or you might have run into this yourself. If you're popular in your area, or you got a business or whatever. But you know, when you have that, you got women that come along choosing, or you get attention and all that. But your lady trips on you, and you ain't really got no control over that. What do you do in that case?
So what you say? What happened now? Your lady do what now?
Like say you like I got a business. Like I'm an artist, right? Like I'm a tattooer. So. I got my business, so I'm kind of more popular tattooer in my city, right?
Okay.
But you got, you know, and any guy that owns a business usually seems like women come along with that. They seem to like that, right?
Right.
But if your lady kind of trips on you from the attention from other people, or if she thinks that somebody is at you a little more than what you realize, you know, she kind of trips on you for that. What do you do in that case?
Well, a lot of women are going to think that. There ain't nothing you can really do. Whenever you're shining and people are gravitating right. towards you, that's always going to be in the back of women's minds, and they're going to act on that. So your job is not to even entertain that. You shouldn't even trip on her insecurities. Those are her insecurities. Right. She shouldn't even be tripping on that. And that's an issue she has to deal with internally. If you ain't doing nothing, right. you out here handling your business, and she's tripping on some non-existent draws you banging or potentially banging, that's a lot of insecurities going on with her, and you need to talk to her about getting her insecurities together. But you need to keep stacking your money, keep doing your thing. You feel me?
Right.
All right, man. Thanks for the call, fam.
Cool. Thanks.
Let me get a couple of more calls here. I hear all types of stuff going on in the background. Let me see who is this. What's going on? Who's calling?
What's going on, King Flex? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Who is this?
This is Damian, man, calling from Dallas, Texas. What's the deal?
I'm good. What's on your mind, fam?
Not much, brother. I just had a quick question, man. First of all, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, man, with these brothers out on the street, because we need this game, man, because God knows it's bad out here, bro.
Yes, indeed.
But I've had a question, man. I've been meaning to ask you, man. I'm a real big fan of Robert Greene's books. Especially one of my favorite books is The Art of Seduction.
Right.
And by the way, bro, I have all of your books, man, and also compare his books to yours.
Okay.
Now, the favorite part in The Art of Seduction, man, it talks about the charismatic, and it goes into deep detail about charisma, you know, and how it started and vice versa and this and that. Let me ask you something. With a brother's charisma, when you're walking around, and does it mean that you have to be nice to everyone to be charismatic? Does it mean you have to be sociable, have a smile on your face? Or does it mean, I mean, what exactly, can you break it down to me in detail about having that charisma, being that dude?
Yeah, well, the thing is, man, understand this. You can't be nice to everybody, but you can be sociable. But charisma has more to do with a certain spark and a certain vibe that you have. There's a certain energy that you have, and that's the thing that gives you your charisma. There's a certain confidence you have. There's a certain self-assuredness that you have, and that's what charisma is. That's what charm is, and that's the thing that gravitates people towards you. It's all about you knowing who you are, and you're being very calm and cool about who you are, and people can feel that. That gives the quality of a leader. And when people see leadership, they naturally want to follow that. So that's what charisma is all about. It's not about being liked by everybody. It's not about liking everybody. Mm-hmm. Because some of the most charismatic people, on the surface, you might not even like them. They might come across as assholes, but they still have a certain charisma. Right. They have a certain charisma about them that people still have to gravitate towards them. I'll give you an example. You look at the show Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. Now, you got a dude on there, Stevie J. Now, Stevie J, you know, this nigga's off the chain.
Exactly.
He's an asshole. This nigga's dirty macking. But the dude is mad charismatic. Dude has a lot of charisma. You like the guy. Even though he's a jerk, he's an asshole, he's a likable dude. He just has that thing where you just like the guy, and you have to watch him, and you have to see what goes on next. And that's why women are drawn to this dude. That's why he can play these women and bounce them back and forth. There's a charisma there. So it's all about, because he walks around like, yeah, I'm an asshole. I'm banging these two women or whatever, but I can do that. I got the Stevie J bus, and I want everybody to get on my bus. So
exactly.
So that's that leadership there, even if it's not warranted on anything. Just because the vibe is there, people gravitate towards that. And that's what charisma is, man. Just being sure enough of yourself so that people can find a way to follow and gravitate towards you. You feel me?
Right. And it's not about having fear as well.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that on today's show. It's not about fear whatsoever. And we're going to talk about how to overcome fear and what fear is all about. But you shouldn't have fear whatsoever. But
that'll work, Flex.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for the call, fam.
Thanks, brother.
Yes,
appreciate
indeed.
It.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's see who else we got on the phone. We're going to take a couple of more calls, then I get into the game. What's going on? Who's calling?
What's up, Flex? This is Pops from Atlanta.
What's up, Pops from Atlanta? What's happening with you, fam?
I got a quick situation. I was just out there in L.A.
Yes.
Met some nice ladies from Atlanta out there.
Yes,
one of them was choosing heavy on me.
Mm.
But I really didn't close the deal. We had a good conversation, but we exchanged Instagram. So now a week later, I'm kind of deciding whether I should hit her up on Instagram or not, because I didn't get her number. And that, she was definitely cooperative.
That's very important, man. Cats got to get phone numbers. All that on Instagram, macking, and when girls giving out Instagrams and all that, man, y'all need to get numbers, exchange phone numbers so y'all can at least exchange text messages. Because giving somebody an Instagram, that's like saying, okay, look, watch me campaign for attention. Because Instagram is basically an attention whore headquarters. And I wouldn't put too much stock in that. You got to close the deal tighter than that. When a girl says, hey, follow me on Instagram, you come back and say, hey, look, I can do that, but I need you to follow me on this text message and hit me up later on tonight. So you got to start giving these women some instructions. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's very,
yeah. I mean,
y'all got to stop.
Hit her up on Instagram.
But y'all got to start. You know, but y'all relying on social media too much, player. Y'all got to close the deal with these women and give them some instructions. Women are looking for some of these instructions from these dudes, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not talking to the hood rats out here who have that no man can tell me what to do attitude. Women want some real instructions from a dude. They want a dude to say, hey, look here. It's my pleasure meeting you. I want you to call me at 6 o'clock because I might have some plans for us. Women like a dude who can lay out some plans. When women say, here's my Instagram, that's some throwaway bullshit. That's almost like a brush off. So I'm just letting you know, you got to close that deal. You got to man up, step up to the plate. You close the damn deal. You feel me?
Right on.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate
man. It. Thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. Yeah, y'all got to close that deal, fam. Y'all got to close the deal with these ladies and stop relying on them to close the deal for you. And when women give y'all these Instagram pages and all these Twitter pages and all that, that's almost like a brush off. So y'all take it for what it is. Let me talk about some topical stuff that's going on right now. Over in North Carolina, in Charlotte, I think, there's a mayor, Mayor Patrick Cannon. He's a black dude. They just indicted him on some corruption charges. And that's the thing. Let me say this. Brothers getting into politics, a lot of these brothers who are becoming politicians, cats need to charge the politician game. Charge that. Brothers and sisters, we need to get out of the politic game unless you got money to really control the politics. Because right now, we're in the middle of Jim Crow 2.0. That's what I call it. We're right in the middle of Jim Crow 2.0, and they're getting black folks up out the game. Not only are they getting black citizens up out of these neighborhoods with gentrification, because now they're heavily resegregating all of these cities now. They've already started to move all the black people to the outskirts of some of these cities, and the main tactic is to get some of the token black politicians out the mix, because for the last 40 years they've been putting token black politicians into a lot of these cities, and now they're getting them out. And you notice recently a lot of black politicians have been getting caught up on corruption charges. Now they got Patrick Cannon, they talking about he took bribes. Now, Ray Nagin in New Orleans, they just indicted him. They about to sentence him, I think. He was found guilty on corruption charges, saying that he took bribes. Kwame Kilpatrick out of Detroit. Jesse Jackson Jr., they got him. So they're getting the black politicians left and right now. And what they're doing is basically redefining what a crime is with these guys. Because all they're doing is getting campaign contributions just like other politicians. But what they do, they get the black politicians who get campaign contributions, and they're saying, okay, well, it's a bribe because it wasn't on record. They'll find some kind of legal loophole. And if you investigate anybody, you'll find something. If you look into their paperwork and look at who they do business with, you will find something on any politician that you can redefine as illegal. And notice all of these cases is bribery. Bribery is nothing but a campaign contribution. That's all it is. Bribery, campaign contribution. What's the damn difference? It's the same thing. some group comes to the politician and say, hey, look, if I give you this amount of money, can you give me some zoning permits to build here? I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But when the black politicians do it, they throw them under the bus. And that's a way to gentrify the neighborhoods. And also, they're getting rid of the tokens. And that just lets black people know we should stop celebrating token symbolic victories. That's another thing. We celebrate token symbolic victories that don't mean anything. We get happy when there's one black person in certain positions, and that position don't really trickle down to the rest of the black masses. And that's always been a problem. That has always been a problem. And what happens is that we get into this whole tokenism thing where they get one black person and they isolate them. And a lot of black people who get isolated and brought into the system around other non-whites, you think you've made it. You think you're special. You think you're the shit because they didn't chose you. What they did, they use you as a symbol and as a token, and you're weaker than ever. So when they throw you under the bus, you have no allies, you have no base, you have nothing, and you go tumbling hard. So we got to stop falling for that. We don't need to mess with politics unless we're going to put money together and control the politicians. So I just wanted to say that, man, because I'm tired of seeing all of these cases with these brothers getting caught up on corruption charges. Let me see who's on the phone here. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? Who is this? Hey, player? Okay, this nigga said, how you doing, and hung up. This nigga was probably naked and his balls hit the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on? It's Andre from Memphis.
What's up, Andre from Memphis? How you doing, fam?
I'm doing pretty good. I just saw on Facebook you saying call in. I wanted to ask you something about this.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
Okay, you know how a lot of people say, you know, black people don't support black businesses and they go to other people's.
Yes.
You know, and hate the other people's business. What do you think it would take for a black person to come in and control the beauty supply? I guess, as far as just opening up a beauty supply store and stuff like that, what do you think it would take for black people to support it?
Those are two separate questions, and those are two very valid questions. See, the first question, what does it take for black people to get the business? That's the easy part. That's extremely easy. All you got to do is just find a manufacturer, usually somewhere in Asia. I've seen several when I was over in Malaysia where they make the Malaysian hair and all that. I've seen the factories and sweatshops and all that. It's as simple as going over there, politicking, or just getting online and finding a distributor and then going finding a location, setting up shop, buy your building permit or a business license and just set up shop. That's easy. That's the very easy part. Now, the customer thing, that's where it's tricky. Now, it can be done, but you have to understand the plantation spirit that's out there. Now you can do it and you can be fly, but you're gonna find some black folks, if they don't see an Asian face or a white face or an Arab face, they're gonna project their own coonishness onto you. They're gonna assume that it's an inferior product based on people who look like them. That's their own inferiority complex. So don't trip on that, because what happens, you get a few of them coming in and out of your store or them passing your store, then that discourages you. And then you're like, fuck these niggas. But no, there's always going to be coons around plantations, but you're going to find some thorough black folks too. That's who you're going to gravitate towards, and that's going to help you build your business up. So set up shop. Gravitate towards those progressive black folks who want to see a change, because it only takes a few of us to really make shit pop off. It has never taken the masses to take care of a lot of stuff. It only takes a few. So set up shop and go ahead and do that, man. You got some ideas in mind?
Yeah, I have some ideas. I know a lot of black people, I know they mess up when they trying to rent a building, and I was thinking about buying a building first, and that way I won't have to deal with any rent going up or anything like that.
Absolutely.
And I would already have my building.
Absolutely.
You know, and then I was going to see about the thing that I was thinking about is how you get the contacts, you know, how you have to, I guess, you know, kind of pull something like Denzel did in what's that move when he
American
went to
China Gangster,
and he
yeah.
got this connect? Yeah.
American, that's how you got to do. That's like sometimes yeah, you got to do. That's what I go over there and I connect with people and chop up game and, you know, talk with people who manufacture clothes. And I got all types of good hookups over there, man. And they're wide open. And American black folks just have this thing where they think that they can't go over there. Hop y'all asses on a plane and go over there and do business. Go over to Africa and mm-hmm. do business, man. The world is your oyster. Cats sitting around here in the hood with incense and bootleg DVDs selling them shits and Egyptian muscle oil. We need to get global yeah. with this thing, man. So real talk. Thanks for the call. Oh, well, shit. He had some more to say, but I was ready to chop up some game here. Sorry to hang up on that, brother. That's my bad. That is my bad. But let's chop up some game. Let me read this email I got from one gentleman. And we're going to talk about fear and how to control your emotions and how to not let your emotions control you. Because a lot of cats out here are letting their emotions run their game. I got an email from a gentleman. He said, "What's up, Tariq? I'm a young dude. I'm 22 years old. I hooked up with a 27-year-old female, and we've been together for 6 months. And I must admit, I like the relationship, but I'm sort of stuck. She's loyal. However, she's a bit obsessive. Her hood rat attitude comes out when she gets upset, and I don't want to be dealing with that. I was cured from an STD from this girl. Her money isn't all the way right as well. We work together, and she keeps saying that God is going to change her attitude because she can't do it. She's stubborn at times, but the majority of the time she's cool. I enjoy her, but part of me wants to leave." He goes on to say, "I was helping her out with the bills and I want to at least go back to my mom so I can be around her less. And I kind of want to charge her to the game because I can't deal with the attitude and the stubbornness. Now, should I ride it out, charge her to the game, or just turn her into a jump off and not so much a girlfriend? That way I can dodge all the attitude stuff and just hit it. What should I do?" Now, the last part of that really told me everything I needed to know about this dude. Now, first of all, I emailed him and I wanted him to call in. I wanted him to call in on today's show because I wanted to talk to him about that whole STD thing, because I asked him about it. He said that she got an STD from her ex and she didn't know she had it. Some bullshit. But I'm like, really, dude? Okay. And dudes are so emotional, so emotionally needy, that they would risk getting a disease just to have somebody to lay up and have sex with on a regular basis. Because basically, the end of the guy's sentence told me everything I needed to know. He wants to know what he can do just so he can still hit it. And that's all he's interested in. He just likes hitting it, but he don't want to deal with all that other hood rat stuff, which is what comes with dating hood rats. Everybody wants that from a hood rat. That's the magic question. How can I bang a hood rat without dealing with her damn hood ratishness? Every nigga you see on Maury Povich wants to know that. Every nigga in child support court wants to know that. That's like, how can I go to Vegas and have a good time and keep all my money? It ain't set up for that. Dealing with hood rats ain't set up for you to have a peaceful existence. That's what dating a hood rat is all about. So the thing is, the whole situation is not about the hood rat, because hood rats have always, hood rats are hood rats. The question is you. What brought you to this point where you're dealing with a hood rat that's burning you with diseases and you're still trying to figure out how to get with her and how to deal with her? What is it about you that makes you think that all you can get is a hood rat? This says everything about you. It ain't got nothing to do with her. And the thing is, a lot of dudes are so emotionally needy right now, they're willing to risk their health just to have at least a dirty little hood rat in their mix. So what's going on with dudes and these emotions? Because I get a lot of emails from dudes out here who don't really know how to control their emotions. I see videos back to back, and I clown them all the time, of guys laying around crying over women. We see that all the time. Guys getting dissed and crying over women they're in love with. We see that all the time. So what's going on with dudes out here? Dudes fighting over women, dudes fighting other dudes, dudes jumping on the women. And a lot of brothers are getting into this. You see a lot of brothers on this emotional level, on this emotional tip. So what's up? Why are all these brothers out here so emotional? Now, there's basically three things that will cause men to react and act emotionally, to wear their emotions on their sleeve. There's three things. The first thing is fear. Fear has a lot to do with damaging your emotions, because the thing is, when you're fearful, you don't feel protected, you feel vulnerable, and that's the reality of a lot of African-American men out here. A lot of black men out here are very fearful. They're afraid because white supremacy is whooping their ass and they don't know how to challenge it. They're scared, and a lot of brothers don't want to admit to being scared of white supremacy. I talk about that all the time. That's where cooning is coming from. Cats start cooning and all that. What about black on black crime? That's fear, because it's easy to point the finger at another person who looks like you. It's easy to do that. No ramifications for doing that, but to say, hey, look, systematic white supremacy is a problem. That's, you might not get that job. Becky might not call you back if you say that. You dig what I'm saying? You might not get invited to the supper club. You might not get invited to the golf club if you say that. So you're scared of the ramifications and the deprivation that comes with challenging systematic white supremacy, because systematic white supremacy has fed you for the last 400 years. So you're very fearful to bite the hand that feeds you. And like I said, in this system, you're constantly being targeted, sometimes overtly, but most of the time the targeting is very covert and you feel it, even on a subconscious level. No matter how much of a coon you are, coons know. I don't give a damn how much dudes are cooning. You know that fear is there. That's why your ass is cooning. You ain't fooling nobody. Now, the second thing that causes men to wear their emotions on their sleeve, excuse me, that is jealousy. That is jealousy, because seeing the next dude do better than you, that's been a major impediment in the black community, because that's that whole plantation thing. See, black folks in America, black people have been deliberately deprived economically. And those in the dominant society, they deliberately give limited resources to those in the black community. Black people are deliberately given limited resources. That's a very calculated thing. But it's made to seem like blacks are just not working hard enough. But you're given limited resources. You've always been given limited resources. And whenever you give anything limited resources, there's always going to be a major mass episode of competitiveness. So people are going to be fighting and clawing for the same crumbs. And the few people who do acquire more crumbs than others, they draw envy and jealousy from the others. And that's a major thing, especially in the black community, the envy and the jealousy and the hating. And that causes you to react to things emotionally. That plays on your emotions. That makes you emotionally weak when you're driven by jealousy, when you're driven by fear. Now, the last thing that has a play on people's emotions, that's anger. Because now you're mad that you can't challenge the system. That creates a lot of anger, because you feel like you can't control anything. You can't control your circumstances. You can't get women to respect you like you feel like you should be respected. You can't challenge the system that has oppressed you. And that's the thing. And that boils down to all of it being a situation where you don't feel like you can control your emotions because you feel like you can't control the circumstances that triggered the emotions. Let me say that one more time. You don't feel like you can control your emotions because you don't feel like you can control the circumstances that triggered all of these emotions. So that leaves a lot of dudes emotionally vulnerable, and they act out this emotional vulnerability in certain ways. They become whiny, bitchy, emotionally needy, sexually needy. They become very passive aggressive. You see a lot of internet trolls who get down like this because they're emotionally hurt. So the only way they can pay people back is to troll on the internet, especially women. They're very hateful towards women on the internet. So there's a lot of emotional instability there with dudes. But the good thing is, man, you can control all that. You can fix all of that. Because you can control your circumstances. That's number one. If you want to get your emotions together, you want to learn how to control your emotions. Rule number one, control your circumstances. If you want to control your emotions, control your circumstances. You can do that easily. Rule number one, acknowledge that certain situations were created by outside forces. That's number one. Always acknowledge that. And then work from that. Because, see, whenever you talk about challenging the system, especially the system of white supremacy, people try to get you to ignore that. And then black people end up running around in circles. And you're not acknowledging what created the circumstances in the first place. That's number one. Once you acknowledge what created the circumstances in the first place, you're going to be good. Now that you know what created the circumstances, you can work around that. You ever notice that? Many guys who are self-sufficient, many guys who are self-employed, many brothers who are self-made, many of these dudes are very calm and cool when they interact with people. You ever notice that? The most self-reliant guys, the most self-made brothers, they're very calm and they're cool, especially when they deal with women. They ain't really tripping on women too hard. You know, they just kind of do them. The women come along, the women cooperate, they just let the women choose. But they, even players, the name of the game in the street game, the woman has to choose you. So you have to make yourself fly, and you have to be self-sufficient enough so that women will choose you. And a lot of brothers who have themselves together, the women are very cooperative, because the guys, their vibe and their energy is cool. And if the woman is acting up, they're like, okay, I'm just going to charge you to the game and just keep it pushing over here. I'm not about to have no emotional outburst over you. I have a whole bunch of options because I just got it like that. I got bigger and better things that I'm knocking out in life. And as the old saying goes, I got 99 problems and you know the rest. Now, on the flip side of that, look at the dudes who are the most emotional. It's dudes who are like kind of dusty, hood niggas, who ain't got no real good hustle popping. Dudes living at their mama house, just like this dude who emailed me talking about he might have to go back to his mama's house. It's dudes living in and out their mama's spot, dudes who don't have it together yet. You notice they're extremely emotional when it comes to women and just in life in general, because they have no control, or they think they don't have control over their circumstances. They're being manipulated by life. Life is manipulating them, so they don't feel a sense of control, and that's bringing out all of their emotions, and they can't handle the women, and they think it's a woman problem. Oh, these women ain't shit out here. No, it ain't. No. It's all about your game and how you handle your game. And you handle your game by handling yourself. Always remember that. Hey, y'all, that's been it. That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Let me get up out of here, family. Check me out. Follow me at Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. That is my Twitter handle. Check out Tariq Elite Radio Show every week at TariqRadio.com. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com. I got my new shirts and my new Tariq Elite shoes coming pretty soon, y'all. So y'all stay tuned for that. I will holla.